Talking draft as we always do as we continue on at the NFL Combine. We're on Radio Row. Good to be back with you here on the Colts Audio Network. I'm Matt Taylor. Casey Vallier is along. Rick Saratella is our guest now talking NFL and NFL draft. He's an analyst for NFL Draft Bible and Sports Illustrated, among the many other things you got going on. Man, you're a busy guy here this week at the Combine.
Brother,
I've seen you all over the place so
I'll
far.
I'll tell you, man. I appreciate you guys rolling out the red carpet here in Indianapolis.
Looking
for
pretty good for you.
Buckle up.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
All right. Home base, as you said off air, in New Jersey, man. So
the great island of the Jersey Shore.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, so welcome to town. Are you glad that the Combine stays here in Indianapolis, or are you one of those guys that would like to kind of travel the country and – do it up while you're here?
I thought when they constructed the city, the sole purpose was to host the NFL scouting
or Final Four.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's just so conducive to what needs to be done. First and foremost, the most important thing is the medical aspect.
Right.
They've got great doctors here. The NFL trusts them. Mm-hmm. I'd hate to see that process disrupted. I do think, though, that it's inevitable, right? The NFL agreed to this deal through next year. Goodell, if you look at the track record, he's got the traveling roadshow with the NFL draft.
Yeah.
I think there's a reason why they made this event in prime time, right? Because that's the next move.
Sure.
Is to kind of take this as a traveling roadshow, I think.
One thing sticking there with the medical, that is what everybody says. Every single time you ask about why is it so important to stay here, it's the medical. Then why is this even a conversation? That's where my biggest, I know it's to make money and all of that, but when does that come into play where it's like, this is why it's here.
You can't duplicate this.
Right. Like,
no, I agree. But, you know, you look at some of these cities that are hosting the draft, they're paying $5, $10 million to do that. And so what is that? Another, not that they need it, another $500,000 in each owner's pocket.
Right.
They get a little allowance there. So
yeah,
I mean,
where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why, despite all the money they pay Goodell, he finds ways to create new revenue. So I understand it. Doesn't mean I necessarily agree with it.
Yeah.
And to go back to the original question, no, I'm a firm believer that the NFL Scouting Combine should stay right here forever.
I like it. Good stuff right there. Rick Saratella from NFL Draft Bible and Sports Illustrated. So I don't see the Bible, but what would the Bible say, right, on hand? What would the Bible say about the top draft quarterbacks? Where are you with the decision there on Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud and the gap that may or may not exist between those two guys?
Well, I think, you know, when we're talking about the gap of talent level, I do believe that there is a distinction there with Bryce Young being the top quarterback. However, if you asked me, do I want to build a team around Bryce Young? Probably not, because I do have some durability concerns. And so if you ask me if I've got to win one game, I'm choosing Bryce Young.
Okay.
If I got to play 17-plus games, right, now that's a different question. I will tell you this. I'm very familiar with Shane Steichen as someone who covered the Eagles. I saw every single one of his press conferences this year, and this is a very smart football man. I think Shane Steichen was brought in here to have influence on who the next quarterback might be. And I'm here to tell you, the fans might not be happy with it. I would imagine Shane Steichen goes to bed having dreams of what he can do with AR-44 Anthony Richardson. if you look at the size and the arm and the ability to run, is that not what Jalen Hurts brings to the table?
Well, no doubt, without question. But he's also coached Phillip Rivers. Now, he didn't handpick these guys, but he made it work with Phillip Rivers and Jalen Hurts and Justin Herbert. Who is the perfect, out of the guys that are available, who is the perfect fit for the Shane Steichen offense if he is living in a vacuum and gets to pick everything?
Well, to your point, this offensive version that we saw this past season with Philadelphia, that was Shane Steichen's handprint. So I get it, like, he worked with Rivers, he's worked with these other guys, but that was more conducive to the system.
Sure.
In Philadelphia, he created the system around Jalen Hurts. Nick Sirianni gave up play calling midway through the season 2 years ago, and since then it's been Shane Steichen's fingerprints all over it. So, again, I mean, like, you take a look at what he did with Jalen Hurts to build an offensive scheme around that. I'm just saying that Shane Steichen's probably got to see some similarities there. Now, Bryce Young could do it too. He's a dual-threat quarterback. But, again, I mean, Jalen Hurts was taking, like, 15 hits a game. And you go back to the size durability, like, you know, it's unbelievable to me because – we got one quarterback who's being talked about as the potential number one overall pick. We got another guy who's almost identical in size and a back-to-back national champion, that's too small to play in the NFL. He's not even being talked about as a draft pick. So there's a very fine line between that separation you were talking about.
Now with that, judging by what everybody is talking about these quarterbacks, with Anthony Richardson, if you're sitting there, if you are Chris Ballard and Shane Steichen, and you're sitting at four, and Anthony Richardson's the guy you want, do you think you can stay at four and get that? Or is that element, that unknown with what his ceiling could be, is there more teams that are going to be in the mix for him because of that?
I look around the NFL landscape, I see about half the league could look to upgrade their quarterback. And that's why I think there could be one, two, and three quarterbacks off the board. So if you want to go and get your guy, you better move up and get him, because at four, that might be your third or fourth best option, right? So if you have a conviction, you're going to have to overpay. Look no further than the Trey Lance deal. You're giving up your number four and probably two future potential first-round picks at a minimum. But that's all worth it, because you got to stop the revolving QB carousel.
Yeah.
You can't go to war with another David Carr or an Aaron Rodgers, someone on the back nine. It's not working, right? And this is the opportunity for Steichen, again, to build from the ground floor, get his guy, and then Steichen will create the offense around his skill set.
Right. Had Anthony Richardson played more than just 1 year, are we sitting here talking about drafting him first overall? More than we already are, more than you already are?
You know, I think because he's so young and so raw, the lack of experience is working to his benefit.
Right.
Because if he played another year on film and we said, what the heck, this guy didn't show any improvement.
Or he's throwing more picks.
Yeah, right.
Right.
So,
is it
or
like
boom
Trey
or bust.
Lance? Is it similar to that?
That's a great call by you. I would say it is very similar to a Trey Lance, because you're betting on traits. I mean, everybody's a projection, right?
Right.
But you're betting on something that we haven't seen. Like, I've seen Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud perform at a high level.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say the same about Anthony Richardson. I've seen flashes of it. But, man, that guy's got to be reeled in. He's got to be developed. And that doesn't happen overnight. Look at Josh Allen. It takes time.
Now, one of the guys that is kind of falling out of the conversation, it's due in large part to the injury he suffered, but Hendon Hooker was a guy throughout the season, Heisman, you know, potentially a Heisman winner if he stays throughout, but the injury, his age is kind of playing. Where do you see a guy like Hendon Hooker in this draft?
I think if he wasn't injured, he'd be talked about in the first round.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, for the Colts purposes, it's kind of hard, because if I'm selecting Hendon Hooker, I'm probably redshirting, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if the Colts want to go that route, but in terms of his overall potential, I think someone's going to get a true value pick in round number two, probably redshirt him, let him sit behind a year. Now, is it a good thing or a bad thing that he's going to be, 26, 27 years old by the time he starts a game? It could be a good thing, because he's seen so much, he can learn fast. It might be a bad thing because, I mean, hey, now you've got a guy that hasn't played any games. I mean, there's quarterbacks in the league. We mentioned Jalen Hurts. He's only 25 years old. He's going to be entering year four.
Right.
Right? So there's a learning curve there with Hendon Hooker, but I think that the tools are in the shed as well as any quarterback in this draft class.
Are you surprised at how much of the college game is infiltrating into the NFL based on the way these guys play and the things that they're used to doing at the college game, and then blending that with the pro game and drop back, pocket pass, play action, things of that nature?
Well, you know, you've seen a lot of quarterbacks come out early, and I think that the NFL has had to adapt and adjust to that and simplify things. For an easier term, they've dumbed it down.
Yeah.
Less is more, you know?
Right.
And you've got quarterbacks coming into the league that have never stood in a huddle, that have never really truly led men.
Yeah.
That have never lined up.
Or gone under center.
Right, gone under center.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that is like 101 quarterbacking, yet these guys are learning that day one on the job in the NFL. It's
right.
Unbelievable.
Now, let's look outside of quarterbacks. Will Anderson is, you know, one of the names you start hearing. But then Jalen Carter, we saw the news that broke this morning, definitely a thing we're going to be watching. Where do you see that impacting this draft? Because outside of the quarterbacks, outside of him and Will Anderson, you know, there's almost another tier of, you know, so when you're looking at that top five, top ten, who is worthy of being in that, and especially if Jalen Carter's stock little drops a little bit, where do you see the rest of that shaken up?
Well, there's a lot to unpack there, and I think first and foremost, we talk about that number one overall pick. This Jalen Carter situation devalues that number one pick, right? Because it's one less blue chip guy
right.
that you're going to think about taking number one overall.
Right.
And it also pushes up the quarterbacks maybe a little bit, even more so.
Right.
Right. And so to me, Carter cost himself a lot of money. He was ticketed in September going 89 and a 45. Now he has this incident. Alcohol is involved. The details are in the police report. This is not speculation.
Yeah.
This is detailed in the police report. And Henry Ruggs is fresh on the NFL decision makers' minds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to hand this guy $40 million. What's he going to go do with it? It's tough.
What do you think the Texans are up to with a defensive-minded head coach, pairing that up potentially with a rookie quarterback? Do you see them going that route, despite having a lot of change with the coordinators and the head coach and sitting at two and the potential there to get the quarterback they like but also prevent the Colts from getting the quarterback that they potentially want and covered at the same time?
Yeah, Lovie Smith did them a solid on the way out the door, right? Because they might have to move up to number one to secure the guy that they want. How about that? You know, I think Houston has to take a quarterback because when are they going to be choosing this high again?
Yeah.
You know, you just don't know when you're picking number two or number one. And if you don't have a quarterback and you have your choice of the litter, essentially,
mm-hmm.
you got to pull the trigger. I don't see a quarterback on the Houston Texans, do you? I can't find one, so they need one.
You mentioned half the league you look at, they could use a quarterback.
Sure.
You look at next year's draft and guys like Drake May and Caleb Williams, who appear to be, if they were in this draft, would definitely be in that mix of the top two quarterbacks. Teams like, you know, you're the Lions, the Raiders, you're not in that mix right now. You'd have to trade to get up. Do you take the risk of not trading now and see what happens in 2023 and put yourself in position to get one of these quarterbacks next year? Is that the kind of draft you might see in quarterbacks? Or do you think
you can never guarantee a
right.
bad season, right?
Well, that's true, too.
Well, you know,
I mean,
I think
the Lions, I mean, they had a pretty good year with Jared Goff, and you may be in the same mix as you are right now.
I think if you implement that strategy, you'll be first on the unemployment line,
yeah.
right? Because remember when we thought Jake Fromm was a first-round pick?
Oh, right,
how did that
yeah.
pan out?
Oh,
you know?
Man, Jake Fromm.
You know, so, I mean, so much happens. I mean, you got guys who was talking about Joe Burrow or Kyler Murray as the number one overall pick before the season started. So who we think is going to be the next best quarterback doesn't always turn out to be that way. And I think that you can get blindfolded that way. And Shedeur Sanders, by the way, now at Colorado,
okay.
also a good-looking quarterback.
right. Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. How about that? Some
Prime
futures
time.
There.
There you go.
That's Rick Saratella, NFL Draft Analyst, NFL Draft Bible, and Sports Illustrated. Twofold, talk up NFL Draft Bible, and also what is piquing your interest the rest of the way here at the Combine.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. NFL Draft Bible, we are the official draft content provider for Sports Illustrated. We also do the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl out in Pasadena. We got the new Substack newsletter, got the PDF. You guys' copy will be in the mail. We got limited edition hard copy
Boom.
Coming
all
out.
Right.
So.
Boom. We need all the help we can get.
Yeah.
Look,
you gotta dominate the
Come
draft
on.
Day with the draft Bible. You know, get on board, become
And
a
you've been doing this a long time.
Man, you're aging me now. My 21st draft cycle.
Oh, wow.
God.
Man, I remember when it was just a dozen of us bozos hanging out here. Now
right.
we went from 12 to 1,200.
There's two more right here.
yeah.
Oh, man, that's a long time. That is, I mean, it really is. I remember 2008 when I got into this racket, and that's a long time.
Yeah, well, but to your point, though, what I'm looking forward to is I don't know when this is going to air. I think today is Wednesday.
Yep.
We do the NFL Draft Awards with my friend Neil Stratton of Inside the League. We've been doing it now. This will be the sixth annual Best Draft Award. George mm-hmm. Patton won the Denver Broncos last year. They brought all of their front office and executives to accept the award. We also
awesome.
Do the CEO Bracato Award for lifetime achievement to the top scout voted on by NFL scouts.
Yeah.
And we also hand out awards such as the Eugene E. Parker Award for lifetime achievement to the agent industry. And we have an award named after Danton Bartow, who's a former Rams scout who passed away, unfortunately, due to COVID-19. So we have the Bart List Awards for emerging scouts and front office executives.
Wow.
So really looking forward to that.
Yeah, right. Really impressive stuff right there. Keep your phone on, would you please? Keep your phone on so we can call you again.
We're out of juice.
All right, come on. Juice it up. Because seriously, keep your phone on. We'll do it again before April, if you don't mind.
Absolutely, fellas.
You got it.
Appreciate it.